Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. That was like the nicest I've ever done the intro, I think. What do you think, Will?
You seem to be in a very good mood.
Sure. What do you think, Cole? Am I in a good mood?
You're always in it. I don't think I've seen Sad Rodney or Mad Rodney.
It's because I'm good at hiding it.
Deep-rooted problems there.
Yeah. All right, guys. Welcome to this episode of, you know, the podcast. We're going to talk about Fable. They renewed the trademark for Fable, so we're going to talk about what that could mean for the game.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. And Cole, what are you...
Fuck
what are you,
yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. All right.
I was a little late on the fuck yes.
Totally. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today, and it's going to be great. It's all coming up right now. Right now. Right now. Welcome to the show, everyone. So, Will's going to tell us the gaming releases of the week, brought to you by, Evil Controllers, I guess, this week. I got my new Evil Controller, and it's fucking bitching. So, yeah.
All right. So, starting up, we talked about this game last week quickly, but Catherine Fullbody is making its way to the Switch July 7th, followed by Subliminal, which I don't know anything about. We have Crosscode, Alden, The Path of Forgotten, and Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, and Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise for the Switch.
You sold those games very well.
Yeah, I don't know any of them, but Deadly Premonition sounds familiar.
Interesting.
So I'm sort of detective game for the Switch, so this is the sequel to that.
Alright, I'm sure that everybody wants to hear all about Fable, because that's what the title is for the podcast. So, Fable came out for the original Xbox, I believe, and I remember playing that game the first time I ever got my hands on an Xbox. I borrowed my friend's Xbox, and I had to set a timer on the oven, and my brother and I would play for an hour and a half. And then the timer would go off, and then you'd get off the Xbox, and then the other brother would get on. And, oh yeah, I was playing Fable, and he was playing... Oh, God, what the fuck was he playing? Grand Theft Auto, I think. Yeah, so...
Those are two very different titles.
Yeah, I know, and we're just, like, super stoked. But, hey, like, we worked it out like gentlemen, right? Like, we figured out, okay, you get an hour and a half, and then you get the fuck off, and then I get on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the very first Fable came out on September 14th, 2004.
I totally expected that to be older.
I was thinking 2001, but yeah. Then I was thinking that's way before the Xbox even launched, so...
Yeah. I just remember it being, like, amazing.
I remember when it first came out, everybody was like, oh, there's nudity in it. People can get naked in it, and people are freaking out at that. And I don't think there's any nudity in the game whatsoever.
There wasn't.
Yeah, I think you can, like, have sex with people.
Or you could have sex. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. You could have sex with people. That's what people are freaking out about.
Yeah, but all it is a black screen with the girl saying, "Ooh, ooh, you're so good."
Will, be careful. We could get demonetized for that. No, I'm just kidding. Sexual content. You're going to have to put a warning.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Ooh,
but
ooh,
that was a great game. Like, and then followed by The Lost Chapters a year later, which extended the story.
It was the second one where you had the dog, right?
Yep.
Okay. I just remembered, spoiler alert for a fucking 16-year-old game, but at the end, when it's like, you can kill your sister to like get this super fucking awesome sword, or you could not take the sword and save your sister. It's like,
what a horrible choice.
I know, it's like, I'm gonna make two save files.
Yeah.
How good is this sword?
I want to try this sword out, but I don't want to kill my sister, yeah.
You also remember you had to decide if you were going to revive the people that were killed or save, which included your dog.
Right, yeah. There
was some ridiculous choice. Or you can get a bunch of money. You could either get a ton of money or revive the people that had died. I can't remember.
There is easier ways to make money than just sacrifice everyone that died.
Oh, yeah, especially in Fable 3. When I finished Fable 3, I had more money than I could possibly know what to do with and counting.
Maybe that'd be a good morality tester. Just like lock a bunch of fucking people in a prison and be like, "Here, play Fable," and then just see how evil you are at the end of it. Be like, "Hey, yeah, you're staying in here."
That's funny. That's like the way they choose.
Kind of the smart way.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when they come around on parole and you have that board that votes whether or not you're sane enough to go or stay, they're just like, "Let's see your Fable safe play."
Yeah.
"Oh, you're staying in here."
Yeah. It's the
guy's got horns and shit.
Yeah. It's the developers of the game. They go, "Oh, mm."
Yeah.
What a great Shawshank Redemption parody. That's funny.
So
I remember with the original, the second, or it might have been the first one as well, but I remember with the second on the 360, it had the exploit where you could change the clock. Did you guys ever do that?
I don't remember. Oh, is that the one where you get older?
No. So basically, a Fable 2, remember, if you owned property, even if you didn't play the game, if you came back, it would calculate how much money the game owed you.
Oh, jeez.
So you could glitch that by basically unplugging your internet, I don't even remember, but you remember the 360 didn't have a connector, so that they had that Wi-Fi plug you had to put in?
Yeah.
You could pull that out, and then you readjust your clock to, like, say, 15 years in advance. So
your game just crashes, like, with all the money.
Pretty much. You like load it back in now with not having an internet connection, so it's like recognizing that clock.
Right.
And all of a sudden you just see the money flow in.
Nice. I bet you if I logged into my like Fable 3 account, I'd just be super rich.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so curious to do that, to see like if there's a cap or a limit or something, like just, I mean, obviously you could check by cheating, but I want to go back and see my Fable playthrough.
I actually really enjoyed Fable 3 as well. I did not want to be that king that just was a total ass. So I actually wanted to save everybody and not and do it right. Yeah. So I just did it by buying every single piece of property, and then everyone paid me taxes, and then I had enough money eventually to save the kingdom.
They had some hot talent in Fable 3 too, wasn't it? What's his name?
Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender.
The guy from the comedy guy, John Cleese.
Yeah.
John Cleese is in every fucking RPG ever, though.
Nowadays he is. It's just that voice. He makes such a good butler.
Oh, Nicholas Holt is in it. Ben Kingsley's in it.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, Will, you're totally right. Anytime I see a butler, I just imagine John Cleese voicing it.
Or a narrator. Every time I think of a narrator, I think of John Cleese.
Yeah.
His voice is just perfect for it, so now he's typecast.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Simon Pegg is in it?
I don't even know who that is.
Simon Pegg, he's the guy from Hot Fuzz. Or Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, so now that
Scotty from Star Trek.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So now that we have Microsoft renewing this trademark, which I'll just read the article right now. right now. So Microsoft has renewed its Fable trademark in the U.S., confirming that it intends to use the dormant franchise in the future. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office published the renewed application on June 30th after it was filed on June 26th, as spotted by IGN. The application confirms Microsoft is not currently using the trademark. However, it does mark yes in the intend to use field. So does it just become public knowledge? You know, like,
I think as soon as you file trademarks, there's no secrecy for it. It just literally, because of, think about like patents and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The patent now becomes public, but the company that put the patent out there, it's now tied to them.
Yeah. So,
dude, we should have snatched up the Fable trademark while we had the chance. Video game podcast now owns Fable.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll get some sponsors. Anyways, I think that... I don't know why this popped into my head, but I saw something on Facebook that's like the patent for toilet paper. And the image of toilet paper, it has the roll rolling out instead of under, or like on top, if that makes sense. Like
that's weird.
Yeah, so
like the way that everybody says you shouldn't do it.
No, well, because it's either under or over. Yeah. And it's just this endless fucking debate on which one it is, but in the patent, yeah, it's over.
Are you an under or are you an over guy?
I'm definitely an over guy. There's a little nozzle thing that like you turn and then it like sprays your little butthole when you, after, instead of using toilet paper. Yeah, I have that. That's way better.
A debay?
I don't even know what it's called. They came with a house, but I use it all the time.
Nice. Roll over toilet paper. Little spouts of water taken in by the trademark for that.
Yeah. So,
sorry, I got sidetracked.
We had to get our poop joke in today. All right, so it's important to point out that Microsoft renewing the Fable trademark doesn't mean that you should expect a Fable 4 news, like, now. If companies don't continually renew their trademarks on their intellectual property, they'll eventually become abandoned. Okay, so we'll pretend there's going to be a Fable 4. They were actually working on an online Fable game, like, a long time ago, and then they shelved
that
it.
That was Fable Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fable Legends, man. I was so excited for that.
Yeah, do you know why they shelved it?
I think that it just wasn't a game that Microsoft was willing to put out, and that made their decision also to shut Lionhead Studios down.
Yeah.
And they were like, they were in development. Like, they had a 30-minute gameplay trailer and like other stuff going on.
Like, I remember they canceled that. It like 4 months before it was supposed to come out.
Yeah, it was not like not in the works.
Yeah.
It didn't look, but it wasn't really like a normal Fable franchise game though. Like, remember, it didn't have story.
Yeah, it was basically like League of Legends, right? Where you have to go through the map and there's like towers and enemies that one person sends at you. You know, one person was the villain and sets up their evil lair.
And four people would be heroes.
Yeah, which just sounds awesome. Like, that sounds so much fun.
But I bet you they did, like, a Q&A and a whole bunch of, like, testing, and no one really liked the game, and Microsoft just decided, like, we're not putting this out.
I can't quite remember how you leveled up your stuff. Like, you didn't level up, right? It was, you leveled up your abilities.
Yeah.
The more you used an ability, it would level up.
There's the orbs, wasn't there? So red was like strength, yellow was skill, and blue was magic.
Yeah, yes. And you if you use your sword and kill somebody, the red orbs would come out and then you would absorb them. And then you would like level up. I know the magic, there was a whole bunch of magic, and so you could like different things would happen. So if you chose lightning and then you got enough blue orbs, you could choose that like your lightning would hit multiple people, or your lightning would go farther, or you could combine your lightning and your fire together.
Yeah.
And then crossbow is like you repeating, or how far you shoot, how fast you shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So if Fable 4 were to come out, would you want them to maybe incorporate something a bit different, like similar to Assassin's Creed, where you level up and then you get a battle point and then you build your ability tree, or do you want to keep it the way it was?
I think keep it the way it was.
I fully keep it the way it was. I think that way of doing it can be enhanced or upgraded, but I thought that was really interesting, something super unique.
And just the way you described it, I like how you can make your own style with like combining different spells and stuff mm-hmm. like that, right?
Yeah,
sword dancing was fun. I like that. You just like summon swords to throw at people.
Oh, yeah. And then also, wasn't each like tree had different things? So under strength, you had like might, physique, and stuff like that. So more points you put into physique, like changed the way your character looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got
more
stronger.
Muscular. Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
That was the cool thing. Like, you know, that was something that just the way they did it. Like, they do that in video games, but like just the way Fable presented it was so, I don't know, fun.
I think that was the first time that you could do that on console. Like, this was the first time you could go and make your own decisions and there was consequences to all your decisions and stuff. That was the first time you could really do that.
Yeah, and it wasn't just as stupid. Like, a lot of games try to do that and then the outcome is pretty much exactly the same, but it's just like one small detail. Like, there was actually some pretty significant differences. Like, entire towns would change the way they look and the way, like, who was there and which people came through there. It was mm-hmm. nutty.
Yeah. So just remembering the first one, I remember the beginning of the game, like, your village burned down and then you got kidnapped. Is that how it went?
No. So, basically, in the first game, your mom is nowhere. You just have your dad. Your dad gets killed, and the village does burn, but it's because the bandits attacked.
Right.
And then they kidnap your sister, and then you get stabbed, and then the head one of the mate or like the heroes comes and brings you to the Hero Academy.
Don't they like stab your sister's eyes out?
Not yet, I don't think.
I vaguely remember like a cutscene where they're like they're hauling her away and she's like bleeding from the eyes.
Oh, that might have been it. I can't remember.
I did
go back and play.
That kind of scarred me, I'm not gonna lie, as like a fucking 10-year-old kid. I'm like, ugh.
Well, look at the second game as well.
Yeah.
It starts off, you're like living in a little shack with your sister.
In the slums.
In the slums. Then you buy this magic, what was it? The music box?
Yeah, the music box.
Yeah, and then you get invited to the castle. Yeah, everything's going well. You think that everything's, like, happening, and then it just goes downhill. You get thrown through a freaking window.
So I'm kind of curious how you guys play the game. So did you guys try to just fuck everything in sight, or were you faithful to just one character?
I was faithful to one character, I think, in second and third. The first one, I was kind of, like, over the top.
Right. What about you, Cole?
Oh, so funny. I thought you were asking, like, if we were playing it good or evil, but you're asking if we boned as many people as we possibly could.
Well, obviously.
I was getting ready my good and evil question, and I was like, oh, wait, that's not what it is. I think because, like, I don't know. Oh, this is going to sound really bad. There wasn't really, like, benefits or deficits, really, for one or the other.
Yeah, fair.
So I think I just did, like, one person because it didn't really make too much of a difference.
I remember in the third one, there was, like, they kind of pushed this lady on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want you. Like, fuck off.
I'm going to go for my slum ladies.
Yeah.
In the second one, I married a corpse.
That's hot.
You can do that?
Well, remember the female queen from the first game?
Yeah.
She's in the second game as well. These guys are trying to, like, find her. This one guy's trying to, like, reconstruct her, so he's getting all her body parts together. But then she sees you first, so because he used a love potion, so she falls in love with you, and then you can decide to marry her or not.
What's your hobby? I get dead princesses' bodies, and I reconstruct them.
Yeah, pretty much.
No biggie.
But I found out the hard way as well. If you have more than one wife, you can get blackmailed for money.
Damn.
In the second one?
And the third. So if you literally...
Paparazzi's.
And you didn't pay them off, then your wife finds out and she files for divorce.
Shit. I remember... Okay, this is going to sound completely heartless, especially since I have a kid coming. So...
Sorry, that sentence.
Always use a rubber.
The second game, you had to make a decision that ultimately gave up like years of your life. but it was the good decision. So you came back as an old man to your wife and your kid, who when you left was like an infant, right? And then I went back there, I think it was like 7 years or something later, and I remember seeing my kid. I'm like, ah, is that what you look like?
Rough.
You don't have it come from these genes.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that too. That yeah, you have the baby, and then it's like grown up once you get back.
Yeah. What happened to your dog during then? I don't even remember. I think your dog's old too.
Yeah.
You weren't that old though. You weren't like crazy old.
You had white hair.
You were
hair
gone
and
for like 10, 15 years, I think.
Yeah.
I gotta play those again. Actually, that was the first game. If there are any gamer dudes out there looking to get into a game with your significant other, Fable is the one. Like, that's how I got my wife into video games, was playing through Fable.
Really?
So, yeah, we played Fable 3 together, and she freaking loved it. She's always like, let's play Fable again. And I'm like, if I've played through something and I've beaten it, like, completed it, I don't really like going back and dabbling too much.
Fable's the one game I would do that for. I'm thinking about it now. Like, isn't they have the Fable Anniversary, the remake of the first one, on the Game Pass?
Oh, yeah. Do they? Oh, fuck, I'm installing that right now.
Yeah, I should actually go take a look at that, because I got to play through 1 and 2 again. I played through 3 recently, because my wife and I did that, but 1 and 2 has been a long, long time.
Did you guys ever play the Lost Chapters expansion?
No.
No, I didn't.
Oh, so yeah, you play the first one and the Lost Chapters, because that takes place after the game. And literally, you deal with Jack of Blades.
Jack of Blades.
Jack of Blades.
Jack of Blades. All right, well, cool. Okay, so what in Fable 4, what would we want to see in terms of new stuff?
New stuff.
I think, like, a
bigger world for me.
Oh, yeah.
They have the technology now. I think Fable would work as a fully open world game.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I'm not suggesting like an MMO per se, but I think you should be able to see other people, like other players in the world.
You could do that in 3. There was that room, like, remember you were in that mm-hmm. like map room, and you could go to other people's worlds and play with other people.
Yeah, because there's co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be.
Because I like. I'm going to use Pokemon Ruby as an example. So when you trade, so you could go through the world and there's like TVs on everywhere, right? And you'd click on the TV and it would be like, oh, this, you know, this trainer is doing this and this and that, but it didn't have anybody on except for you until you traded Pokemon with somebody and used a link cable, and it would exchange data with them. And then when you go back to the TV, it would tell you stuff that they've done. Like, oh, hey, so-and-so caught a, whatever Pokemon on this route, it was super cool, whatever. But it was just cool. Yeah, it was just cool that you could get little snippets of news reports of stuff other people have done, and I think that would be a very interesting thing to do in Fable 4, where, like, everybody...
I think that would be cool. Yeah, a hub or something?
Yeah,
like... They do that in Sword and Shield, too, but it's, like, the way that they do it in Ruby sounds way cooler, you know? Like, if you had wanted posters or something up, or, like, there was, like, a newspaper, like, a kid running around, like, extra, extra, and you can get the newspaper and, like, see what other people are doing.
Yeah.
That would be a...
I don't... or even maybe their player, like, their physical player is in the game, but maybe as an NPC, and you talk to him, they go, oh, hey, yeah, no, I just did this quest, yada, 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 and then he can mark it on your map, and it'd be, like, a way for you to collaborate on quests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Pokemon also, or Pokemon Sword and Shield also does that. Like, if you turn on, what is it called? Like, the Kinect mode, then you can see all of the other people running around the wild zone.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's only a certain area that it happens in or something.
Well,
like
a
town.
Or it's just limited to your friends list or something. Like, the people that are actually playing the game that you actually care about. Because if it's like Joe Schmo did this, like, who fucking cares, right?
Yeah, I don't want to hear about someone, like, in England or something that just found a legendary sword.
Well, Sea of Thieves kind of does that, you know, like anytime somebody does something really cool, they add what that person's done to the world, and then you can go around and find the things that people have done throughout the world.
That would be cool, but I mean, like, if this is a sword everyone can find, and then, you know, you just hear about, like, so-and-so found this, so-and-so found this, like a normal MMO, like Elder Scrolls Online, they have their chat feature, right?
Yeah.
And you see everything. So if they want to post something for sale or something, your window just goes freaking wild.
Mm-hmm.
There's many times like I just turn it off because on the bottom screen, bottom right side of the screen is nothing but just like spam.
Yeah.
I feel like this kind of plays a little bit into what I want it out of it, because in Fable, there's all these decisions that happen, like we were talking about how your kid gets older. I want them to have a lot of stuff to do in the end game. Like, Fable is obviously, Fable is story. It's a very story-driven game, so even if it is open world, they should still have a very strong, defined story. But once that story is finished, I hope there's, you know, however it shapes your world, however the decisions play out, I hope there's stuff that you can do in your world after the story. You know? Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
And that's kind of building on what I'm about to say, too, is I want there to be quests, but I don't want it to be so fucking obvious, like, hey, you should go do this one thing, and then it, like, shows you waypoints on how to get there. Like, I want to be able to have to figure it out and explore the world.
Like an immersive mode would be cool, because in God of War they have an immersive mode where you can turn off the entire hub so you see absolutely nothing and it's like you're right there. So having like a Fable immersive mode would be cool. No mini map unless you like open up the mini map, and no health bar or magic bar or whatever. You gotta know what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm fine with a mini map, because Assassin's Creed had an exploration mode, is what they called it. And the mini map would just have question marks on it. So you're like, oh, I wonder where that is. So you can go check out what the question mark is, but it doesn't actually tell you what it is until you actually get there.
Yeah, so you could just find a stupid mine or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how they build it into the game. Like, Ubisoft was very passionate about, like, being immersed. You know, that's why it was all the... That's why you have the stupid... What's it called? Cerberus? Herberus? What's that?
Derbertus?
It's so that when you die, you're not actually like just a person who dies, but they're like, oh, wait, that's not how it actually happened.
Oh, the Animus.
Did it like this. Animus. The Animus, that's what it is, yeah. And then King of Persia? No, what's that?
Prince of Persia.
Yeah. King of Persia. Every time you died in that, they'd be like, wait, no, that's not how the story goes. So they like to have a reason. It just depends on if you have a mini map, like maybe it's because your character knows the land well. I don't know. Give a reason for it.
I think it would be interesting to add a bit more risk into the game as well. Like, if it's open world, that's great. But what if it doesn't save until you get to the next town? So it's like it's adding a bunch of risk now to the game, where it's like I shouldn't take on this group of fucking hooligans over here because I might die and then lose all of my progress.
Because the way they do that in the other Fables is that every time you die, you got a scar, which decreased your attractiveness. And then it would make it harder for you to, like, date and marry people because your face is all messed up. Or, like, you know, you eat too much food, and if you eat too much food, you get really fat.
Yeah. Then you gotta eat celery.
No, you know, it's bringing back memories. I think it was it two? I think it was two. I didn't play for, like, a month. And then I went back online, and my guy was so fucking fat he couldn't even fight anymore. I'm like, fuck this game. So then I quit.
That's funny.
You just had to eat the celery.
There was no loading when you died. Like, in Fable, it wasn't like when you died, it would be like, nar, 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 and then you'd have a big loading screen, you get pulled back. You would just, like, you'd get knocked down, and then you'd get back up, and it would be like, you've acquired a new scar. So I kind of like that. Like, if you're grinding through a hard game, the worst thing is just, like, waiting for the loading screens and waiting for the loading screens. Like, it just made it so much, like, snappier.
Well, they are saying, like, with the next-gen consoles, the Xbox and the PS5, we're not going to have loading screens anymore.
I mean, they say that all the time. They said that for the Xbox One and the PS4, like, and tons of games where they're like, no more loading screens. It's just going to load once, and then it ends up being, like, a four-hour loading screen, and then, I don't know. Let's hope they can actually pull it off, because loading is fine. It just doesn't have to take, like, 15 minutes to do it.
Oh, God, that just brought back fucking NOM flashbacks of Anthem, Will. God,
we still got to go back and play it.
Yeah, we do. What the fuck are we
going to restructure the whole game?
Well, they fixed it, and a lot of people are still playing it, but apparently they're working on, like, reworking the whole game to be re-released.
Should we just wait for that?
Anyone, everybody who bought it get like a free collector's edition?
I think so. Anyone that got it before is going to get like the free version of the new game.
A handwritten note in blood saying we're sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
We're sorry.
We're just sorry. Like Bethesda did with
76.
Fallout 76.
Yeah, Brian still refuses like to play it. Like, he pushed himself to play it, and he's like, I hate it, but I bought it, so I'm going to play it, and I want it to be good. And now that they fixed it, he refuses to play it. He's like, that game stole too much of my time and attention that I'm not going to touch it again.
Brian.
Gotta love that guy.
A little off topic, but did you guys hear Fallout is getting a TV series?
That's
interesting.
Is that what they need to revive the fucking series now?
I'm not too sure, but it's kind of an interesting thing. The Fallout lore would make a good series.
There was a guy on YouTube. I remember, like, back in the day when I was in, like, high school and I was trying to make a bunch of YouTube videos, there was a guy who made a Fallout miniseries that was actually really good. Like, I was impressed at how well it came together. It was super fun. It was comedic, but it was also, like, action-adventure-y. Like, it was super fun. So I think if it's executed well, it could be interesting.
It's for Amazon Prime, and it's coming from the creators of Westworld.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God, dude. Westworld is... Anybody who hasn't seen Westworld, watch it. It is
incredible.
Good. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So that could actually be, like, that could be really cool.
Well, but it's Amazon. That's worrisome.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon's got some great shows, but The Boys... The Boys, man. But that's Seth Rogen. Like, you can say whatever you want about Seth Rogen. That guy knows how to make a TV series.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for season two. Little off topic.
Oh, it's good. It was a good off topic.
Yeah. I think... Oh, sorry. With the Fable, though, wouldn't it be good to kind of give little nods, like if Fable 4 comes out, to say choices you made in the first game, second, and third?
Yeah.
Kind of, like, keep that lore alive.
That would be, yeah, that would be really cool. You know, like some type of ancestry tree, or like if you were to do all of the evil decisions in like three, because in three, you can either like, you can take away all the water from that one town.
Yeah.
And then the whole town dries up and everything dies. So like if you made that choice in your three game and then you go into four, maybe, you know, there's then an area that's not doing as well, or, you know, something on the lines of that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I think another interesting thing would be to create worlds that you can only access based on your decisions. So, like, if you're doing everything bad and you're fucking... You got horns grown out of your head, then you can access, like, the underworld. And if you're, like, a saint, then you could access, like, I don't know, a different, like...
Heaven,
for lack of a better word, yeah. I think that would be interesting. And then it would make you think about your decisions a bit more, too.
As like
interesting.
As somebody who wants to do everything in a game, that's really cool, but man, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah. But
it
would kind of give you some replayability in a sense too, right?
That's why I think they need more choices in four.
Yeah.
For me to play one version of the game completely pure, and then like this in my next playthrough would be completely evil.
Yeah,
because I could get different endings or stuff like that.
And a lot
if
of
you do that. Oh, go ahead, Rodney.
A lot of games are giving you the option to replay your game again on like hard mode or whatever the fuck. So it definitely would give you an opportunity to play the game again, like as a bad person or whatever, right?
If you have that kind of option, I feel like it would be a little weirder to have a huge, open, massive world. You know, like that kind of replayability is almost designed just for a story.
Well, even with an open world, the world can be changing. So say you make like a bad choice, right? And then there's like a time skip or something somewhere in the game, and you come back 5 years later, and now that village or something is prosperous, or it's completely burned to the ground.
Got
and
it.
Now you lose access to it.
It would just feel so good to walk through a town and have everyone quiver in fear because I'm walking through town. Fuck.
Mr. Conqueror.
That was awesome. People would run into the corners and like cower.
That was, yeah, if you died in Fable and you got scars in your face, you'd have to pay more for stuff and people would run away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Phil Spencer would be a part of it?
Well, he's the head of Xbox. No,
Phil Spencer is head of Xbox. You're talking Studios.
About, yeah, what was that guy's name?
What's his name?
He made the Cube game.
Well, hold on, I'm looking it up.
Phil Kessel.
Peter Molyneux,
yeah, that's it. Do you think he would be a part of it at all?
I don't know what he's been up to. Let me see. I'm looking right now. And he left. I have no idea where he's working now. So it would kind of be interesting, though, to kind of see him working with it, because Fable came from his mind, right?
Yeah. Which, but we got a bunch of cool stuff, but we also got a bunch of kind of crappy stuff. But oh yeah, he did Black and White as well.
That was a great game.
Yeah, oh man, that was such a crazy game. I want to play that again.
Okay, so we talked about what we would like in Fable 4. What about online stuff? What do you guys think about that?
I definitely want multiplayer. I don't think it should be treated as an MMO, though.
What about like live events and shit like that?
That would be good to have, yes. Where you could play with other players and stuff like that. So maybe they could have like certain a random boss world fight or something. And when you got into that zone, you could actually fight with other players.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter does that really well. Like yeah. The Monster Hunter events do it. That would be cool, having kind of like a Monster Hunter style, because they have the world hub, you know, like mm-hmm. You can go to the hub where there's the people and then do the events with them. And then the rest of it is just your own campaign. Or you can just join in, like you pick an adventure to go on to, and then you can like call for people to come help, or somebody can just join in on your adventure and go.
Yeah. No, that would be a great aspect to have, like a huge boss fight with other players. If they can't do something like that, even what they did with, what was it, Black Flag, and they had the white whale sometimes spawn.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
And maybe, like, people did the Legends thing, and they weren't super into it, but you could find a way to incorporate that into the game, you know? Like, maybe there's a way that you can shoehorn that in, where you can gather up with people and go on like a custom made adventure, because that kind of keeps replayability, you know. If you can like Super Mario Maker style your own adventure and send people on it and place monsters and mazes and
yeah,
towers mm-hmm. and stuff.
Assassin's Creed does that. You can build your own quests and share them online, and people can do them.
Yeah
because that's what basically what Legends was, so find a way to add that in.
That would be interesting, actually.
Yeah.
They definitely reuse some assets that I've already spent hours on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're almost got a game that's released, put it in.
Well, who knows? That's... It could be dog shit, and they shelved it for a reason. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, I'd like to just... I want to try it. Please.
What if the guy who made Fable walked in and was just like, what? Nope. Scrap this shit.
Rough, yeah. Peter
Molyneux.
Did you guys ever play The Cube?
No.
No. Oh, okay. He made this game, this app that you could download, and basically the app was, there was a giant cube with like billions of pixels, and you go on and you tap a pixel, and that was the whole point of the game, is that everybody in the world is all playing the game at the same time and you're all tapping pixels on the cube, and then once you tap through a whole layer, the cube would get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until there was just one pixel left, and whoever tapped on that pixel got a prize, and nobody knew what the prize was, but you just had to find out by everybody tapping the pixel, and it took a few months for everybody to get to the center of the pixel, and then the prize was that Peter was making some type of AI, and you got to be the voice for the AI that he was making.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, it was fun. I was so hyped when that first came out. I was on there freaking tapping that cube every single day for as much as I could, and they're like, oh, it was crazy.
That's a good toilet passer.
Yeah, oh man, it was super, like, he has this way of coming up with cool, unique ways. Curiosity, what's inside the cube? That's what the game was called.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's fun. That'd be good on a smaller scale. I think a few months is a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, the more people that played, obviously, the quicker it went, but it all depended on, like, there was only one cube, and you could, like, see people tapping at the cube, right? Like, you'd have to pick a section, and you can see entire sections that were getting destroyed, so you kind of had to find a section and tap on it, and you would get points, and it would tell you how many pixels you tapped away, and you could, like, buy, like, little pickaxes or whatever to make you... Every time you clicked on one, it would take away two instead of one, and yeah, it was crazy. It was released in 2012, November 7th, 2012.
Interesting.
And then, when did it end? I'll find out when it ends. But it was fun. I hope they do something like that again, because, man, it was nutty.
There was a mobile game I played called Tap Tap Titans.
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah.
Then I got bored.
Well... When you're sitting there doing nothing and you're just having a conversation with someone, your phone's beside you, and you're, like, three-finger fucking tapping, and you're, like, arms cramping up, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm yeah. playing a game.
I actually bought the thing that did automatic tapping.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Wow. I wouldn't have gone that far. But, all right. So, that's about it for Fable 4, I think.
Nothing. Yep.
All right, so...
Oh, I was thinking, would you think the combat system, like, just the way, because there was, like, strength, dexterity, and magic, would you add anything else to that?
Well, there's archery. There was archery, wasn't there?
That was, like, the dexterity.
That was skill.
But,
yeah.
You know, like, I feel like they could add, like, I don't know, what's more that they could do? Because it was like the three tree levels, but I think you could have more than just three tree levels, you know, because you could literally, if you wanted to be evil, I did an evil campaign where I just went into the first town and I just started killing people, and they send a never ending barrage of guards at you, and you just basically farm that town, and the guards would get stronger and stronger, and you would just fight the guards. And even if you died, who cares? You'd get a scar. You were being evil anyway, to the point that I had everything, all the combat maxed out before I even left the first town.
Jeez.
And then you just decimate everything, because you know, who cares if you get a scar? And then eventually these, like, high level guards are sending at you, just start getting wiped out. So ooh. I don't know if there was a way to add some stuff to the combat system.
I'm
wondering if, like, I feel extra badass when you do cool moves, like in Twilight Princess. When you do the hidden skills or whatever, like, those made me feel super cool, and that made the combat system super fresh for me. So I'm wondering if, but that kind of goes back into the tree thing from, like, Assassin's Creed. Like, you could unlock stuff that, like, you could chain assassinate people and stuff like that.
So kind of like adding a combination of it somehow.
Yeah. And that would also make it unique to you, right? Each player would not be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. Like, you just max out everything, and then it's whatever. Just finding a way to make it unique.
Yeah, like, I in Assassin's Creed, I always used, like, the same four things on my hotkeys, and I think I had two other ones in reserve, but I rarely used them. So I only really used, like, six skills out of, like, the 24 or whatever the fuck are available.
That's kind of a problem with the skill tree, is that, like, you get to a point where you're just over the skill tree.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. So there's a new BR right now called Hyperscape, which is developed by Ubisoft. It's not really playable. It almost is. It's in tech test right now. So they have been giving it out to streamers to see how they do, and they want to get some exposure out with it that way. So it's, you have to get invited to play. So I've submitted my ballot, so hopefully, you know, I can get in. Anyway, so it's a BR. It's a bit different than standard BRs. So Will's watched a little bit, and I've watched a little bit. The game mechanics are a little interesting. They haven't, you don't just run and gun. It's a bit of a learning curve by looks of it. Yeah, Will?
Yeah, it definitely has more of a unique aspect to it. Reminds me more of Apex.
Yeah, you gotta, like, loot your abilities, which I actually like, right? Because then it keeps it a bit balanced, right?
It does, yeah. I'm watching a bit of it right now. It's just,
me too. Damn, that health bar is hefty.
Yeah.
Damn.
So the servers opened on July 2nd, and they're going to close on July 7th. So if you want to, which is tomorrow. So I'm sure you can go look up some YouTube videos or something on it. But it's 100% urban. There's no woods or anything like that. It's all like downtown type stuff.
Yeah, there's not going to be any hiding.
No, that's good. So, like I said, you loot your abilities solo or in a squad in the streets or on the rooftops, looting unique weapons and rule-bending hacks to define your playstyle. Next, we have...
How do they close in? Like, how do they narrow it down?
I think you go after a crown, and then that person has to survive as the crown wearer to get it. And then that would make you the winner. So this actually is really good because now it's eliminating campers, really.
Yeah, the map's huge.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about like battle royales is like how do you eliminate the closing of the map?
Well, yeah, that and how do you eliminate campers, because that's the biggest issue people have with battle royales.
Is the campers.
Plunder's a good option, honestly, because that's forcing, if you want to actually win, it's forcing you to not camp and you got to actually run around and grab money, etc., right?
Yeah. This says, oh, that guy just got domed trying to pick up an item.
So, a shifting battleground, escape the decay that dissolves the city districts, adapting a random game-changing effect. Fight to be the last one standing or take the crown and claim victory. Okay, so you
having multiple winning types.
So that's really cool. You can win by old-fashioned BR standards or you can get the crown. And then if you get the crown, that's going to shift everybody's focus to you.
Okay.
It's like a most wanted in Call of Duty, except for rather than just surviving the time, you win the game.
Yeah. An ever-evolving experience, a steady flow of customization options, new gameplay opportunities, and map changes keep the action fresh season after season. New gameplay opportunities. Interesting. So, I'm just going to hit Discover and see if there's any more news on this.
Yeah. Cole's right, though.
I'm always right, Will. Thanks
too much
for
help.
Yeah, I know. Like, when I kind of think of a game that I like, I don't know, more realistic. I think that's why I like Modern Warfare so much, and I didn't really like games like Apex or like Fortnite, is because it was too, like, I don't know, fake's not the right word, but it was too cartoony and futuristic.
Unrealistic.
Like I like modern or kind of like postmodern more. That's more of my jam.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder to do a battle royale or anything in that style.
Yeah, because watching this, like, this guy was just chasing this other guy around with a minigun, and it took him quite a while to kill him.
Yes.
Like,
I'm
a mini
loading
gun
in these guys.
Be, yeah, so...
Unlike Modern Warfare, where the Growl can fucking drop you in two shots. Fucking,
yeah.
That pissed me off today.
Actually, it's funny that I was so angry at the Growl, and I was like, oh, I'm so sick of people using the Growl. I started using the M13 and the M4A1,
yeah.
And they're just fucking lasers. Like, they're just as powerful as the Growl now, so I don't feel as bad anymore.
Nah, man, the Growl's fucking bro. I use an M13. And this guy completely fucking decimated me today. Actually, two guys, and they both had Growls. And I'm like, I thought you got fucking nerfed. Why are you killing me in two fucking shots now? Like, what the fuck?
Anyway,
they
did get
they apparently, what did they do? They nerfed the long range?
Yeah.
It doesn't quite feel like they nerfed the long range, but...
Well, they didn't nerf the fucking close range. Because if you're on a one-on-one, you're getting fucking destroyed. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the hacks. So... First one is teleport, obviously, lets you aim at a distant location and zip there in a heartbeat, so that's going to be gross.
Zip.
Zip. Next is slam, leap high into the air, and smash back down on the ground, dealing damage to any enemies around you and sending them flying.
That's interesting.
It looks like you can set up giant walls.
Yeah, this guy's building shields around himself.
Yeah. The next one's heal. Keep your friends close in the area of effect. Hack will keep them healthy and ready to fight. That's... All right. But no one ever wants to play medic, let's be real. Like, in any game where there gives you an option to revive or heal people, like...
Yeah.
No one fucking ever does that. Too far from cover. Deploy this and instantly be big, resilient, and whatever. It's a wall. Throw your wall up at any point. Next one's invisibility. So that's self-explanatory. Next is a mine. Hostile contenders get too close to this proximity mine, and you'll be homing in and unleash a devastating explosion.
So interesting. That'll literally ruin a few aspects if the explosion's too big. Like, you get them to chase you, you wait in around a corner, and they just freaking run into the mine.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then the other way is that it doesn't do enough damage, and then it just becomes obsolete, because why have a mine when you can turn invisible or jump in the air? Or, that's a tough balance.
Okay, the next one's armor. You can mitigate damage when activated. Then reveal, information is everything. Reveal hack will ping the location of the nearest enemies for you and your squad. And then finally, a ball. Turn yourself into a bouncy ball. Is there really anything else more we need to say? Yes, why is this in the game?
I've been in this gameplay video I'm watching, they use the bouncy ball, and it's a little weird, but
yeah, I don't know how you could incorporate that into the game. I mean, I haven't played the game yet, so I'm interested in trying it out. I tried out mm-hmm. Apex for a few months, and then that was
will
that.
Will this be free to play?
It's free to play, yeah, it's free to play.
It is free to play.
Ubisoft has their event on Sunday, so I have a feeling we'll get the full reveal there, and then they'll talk about probably a beta.
Yeah.
Because this is just tech right now.
It is. I want to see some of the guns. It doesn't say anything about the guns.
There's like a pistol, an assault rifle, a shotgun.
I've seen a grenade launcher and a machine gun.
It's got a Borderlands feel to it, you know, like there's a guy who reloads and he like hit the clip comes out, he takes the clip and then he ditches the gun and then another gun like appears.
Yeah,
and he just puts the same ammo clip into the gun.
I'm watching that right now, actually.
It's weird.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. But that's cool. Like, I mean, dude, a Borderlands Battle Royale, that would be
cool.
Super cool. That would be really interesting. With all, like all the billions of different types of guns and stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a little bit aside, but that's kind of the feel I get from looking at these guns.
The graphics are kind of that Borderlands style as well, so.
Yeah, just a little bit more boring in my taste.
Well,
I also like post-apocalypse. That's another genre that I really like. Give us a post-apocalyptic battle royale.
The circle's closing in, and the circle's just the horde of zombies.
No matter how many... That'd be interesting, too. Like, if it was closing in as a horde of zombies, you could go into the zombies, but you had to kill a bunch to make a path.
Yeah.
But then it would slowly fill.
That would be cool.
Or if you got too close to it, the horde would come out to attack you, so you couldn't get close to you couldn't go into it. Like, the area would be completely off, and if you tried to get near it, like, they would break off. So, say if there's, like, an entire wall of them.
Yeah.
15 of them would break off if you got too close, and then now you're trying to fight them on your backside, as well as people coming in your front.
Yeah.
It would make final circles very interesting.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you would... Like, is Warzone the only one where you can actually go into the gas with some sort of protection? Like the gas mask?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Because even in Fortnite, you're still taking damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it does and the damage ramps up. Whereas in Warzone, I don't think it does.
No, it stays the same.
In Black Ops 3, they had a Battle Royale mode, didn't they?
No, I think Blackout 4. Or, sorry,
Black Ops 4.
Yeah,
Black Ops 4.
And then it was Blackout.
And there was zombies in that, wasn't there? You could go to different areas on the map and there would be zombies in that area. And you could do waves of zombies to get prizes or to get, like, loot.
I never played it, so I can't remember.
I think I saw Brian playing it, because Brian is a huge Call of Duty guy.
Well, not this morning. I'm like, fuck, I need some dudes to play with.
Oh, he went to a thing last night, so he's probably pretty hungover.
Is he now? Well, I got a new controller, so. But
so you want to play?
Well, no, Brittany's home now. I'm upset. yeah.
How far along is Brittany to change the subject?
6 months. She is 7. She's due in like the end of September.
Damn, Papa Rodney's coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, and then I won't be able to play games fucking at all.
I'll barely, that'll be the end of it.
I'll barely have enough time to do the podcast.
Yeah,
that's what is Nick Frost. He says that where he's like, when you become a father, you can't play video games. You can't be like, well, I got to go upstairs and shoot people for 6 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but I mean, I won't cut out games entirely, but it'd be nice if my fucking gaming system was, you know, not downstairs in the garage where I had to open a garage door to access mm-hmm. it.
And then you got to get your kid into it.
Oh,
and that'll be
totally.
A new aspect to the Video Games Now podcast. we'll have the audience there with us.
I think, yeah, that's my plan, is to get them into video games so I have someone to fucking play with. And because it ain't Brittany, that's for sure.
Hey, man, yeah. When Fable 4 comes out, that could be your chance to finally hook Brittany.
I don't know, dude. Like, I've tried fucking everything. I've tried everything, and it's just not, it's not taken.
Did she try Animal Crossing?
She did, and she tried New Leaf. Was that what that mm-hmm. was? Yeah, she tried that.
New Leaf, yeah.
Yeah, got bored of it. Mm. And, what else? What else did she try? She tried Yoshi. Didn't like that.
Oh.
Or she got frustrated. No, the problem with Brittany is she gets frustrated at, like, literally the dumbest shit.
Mm.
So she'll die 4 times, and, like, that's it.
She'll tap.
She doesn't have any willpower to, like, grind. So.
That's why we got all the willpower right here on the Video Games Podcast.
Yeah, I'm all about the grind.
All about it.
All right, guys. Well, that's wraps it up for the podcast today. Thanks a lot for joining us. Check out our website, videogamesnow.ca, for all of our content. And if you really like the show, consider becoming a Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/videogamesnow and become a... I don't even know what I want to say. You get extra shit, you know. You get extra shit. You get to hear Cole's occasional stories about stuff.
Occasional. All the time. No.
Yeah.
That's right. How we're going to get people to not become Patreons.
Yeah. Cole's actually interesting. Sometimes.
Thanks.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
So. All right. Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. See you guys next week, which we'll be talking about Ubisoft, whatever the fuck it is, right, Will?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of their conference, but they're finally going to have their E3 sort of event.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, we'll be recording the podcast literally right after it happens, so we'll have all the juicy details for you. So, see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.